Blog Talk Radio.
How was that intro music? Welcome to Scatter Chatter.
Hey,
this is your host, Just Ray. Will, what's up,
what's
Big
up,
Willie?
What's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. So today we're talking about politics and news and the running the presidential candidates.
Yeah, man.
What do you think, Will?
Yeah,
what's crackling?
Dude, the primaries, man. The caucuses, man. Where Iowa got it so crazy and hectic with their technology. I think New Hampshire did pretty well with their technology.
Okay.
As we're trying to get to who is going to be the Democratic representative to go against the president of the United States.
So when you look at the percentage points, like you just watched the primaries, I watched it as well, and also the debates, like how do you feel about the candidates? Not necessarily saying who you're going to vote for, but how do you feel about each of the thing is like five different candidates. How do you feel about them?
Well,
from what you've seen.
From what I've seen, you have Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, who are very progressive. They want to bring in a lot of new energy and new nuances to how the Democratic platform should look like, which is something that's eye-opening for me. And then you have some who are a little bit more on the moderate side, like Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar, and the Vice President Joe Biden, where they kind of start their tactics somewhere in the middle, not too far to the left, and not too far to the right either. There's just more in their central or centric location. So it does make for a very entertaining watch, if you know what I mean.
Okay. So what's interesting is, like, watching the primaries, the key word that I've noticed between all of the candidates was utilizing the word African-American voters. I don't know how to feel about that. And also, from an analytical standpoint, watching the people that were standing behind them, like, watching Klobuchar during her speaking engagement, it just seemed like, I hate to say this, but it seemed like she was reading from a written dialogue, despite her being a Democratic candidate, and I didn't see a lot of people of color, like, standing behind her or some of the other candidates, or they were staged, and I think even Biden, when he was doing his speech, I just saw a lot of people staged, and I don't know if that word was just tossed around for credibility, not necessarily because it's something that they are really standing behind. Or I don't know. I really don't know how to feel about that, left or right or moderately. What do you think on that, or how do you want to speak to that?
Well, the party of Lincoln, which is the Republican Party, was the party that most African Americans or blacks were a part of. And this goes back into like 1856. So the election of 1860 that elected Abraham Lincoln into office was the very first time that there was a major Republican representative. Now, and because originally the Republican Party were abolishing slavery. Let's look at that, because this was a party that wanted to abolish slavery was the reason why you found most blacks
were
when
Republican
they had
at the time.
To vote, went Republican. Now this
right.
changed,
and even to this day, historically, there are still some that keep that, but they're socially democratic.
Well, then you have to look at what the platform stands for. So,
okay.
Where the Democratic Party looks for to be more liberal, more progressive, more community changing. There are some people who just hold on to a very conservative value. You know, there are so many topics when you talk about entitlements, when you talk about abortion, when we talk about civil rights, there is this this polarizing thing where some people feel you have to be of one party or another based on the platform. But if you're trying to seek change, you're typically trying to find new ground to stand on. This is something where most African Americans stand on. And this is what the representatives so far for the Democratic Party are searching for.
Okay.
You're not going to see a lot of color in New Hampshire.
No.
It's not going to happen.
No.
I think the state in itself is like 1% African American. So
right.
You're not going to find many of them there.
No. And even just from looking at, I don't know, if I were somebody that was going to look at voting and just looking at people, I think the more progressive people, it looks like, all right, I'm not a comedian, all right, but Bernie Sanders, because Killer Mike, you know what I'm saying, he's progressive.
Right.
I hate to say it, when I was really first looking at the candidate, Buttigieg?
Buttigieg.
See, it looked like Buttigieg. Sorry, it did. I'm not trying to make fun of it. I mean, I'm just wondering if during his marketing or his campaign stuff, was somebody, did he pay somebody to change that name? But nonetheless... it looks like he's a little bit more progressive than Joe Biden. And I think the numbers reflect that. Like, Klobuchar is, like, right in the middle. She's, you know, I mean, you can't really deny her because she's, like, middle of America people. I mean, that's all the earth of America, right? I mean, I don't know anybody that doesn't that dislikes somebody from Minnesota or Wisconsin.
Right. I think Sanders does it for a lot of people because he's kind of been there, done that. And
right.
then Biden initially looked like the person that you felt comfortable with because he ran with Obama and they won
right
year.
Right.
Klobuchar, Buttigieg seem to give new perspective. And that's okay.
Right.
And that's great. Where Warren and Sanders try to push the envelope even further.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to dream, let's dream big. So you
right.
can get Sanders and Warren in that respect.
Right. And then also here's another kicker I want to throw out there. I was looking at Instagram and looking at what is it? Valuetainment, Patrick Ben David, and you mentioned something very interesting. He was talking about how to be a president, and I encourage anybody to look at that Instagram post or the YouTube post by Valuetainment. And basically, he was saying, like, what's interesting, we haven't even seen Bloomberg, like, do anything, but it's like it would be an interesting fight, like a mega fight between Donald Trump and Bloomberg, because Bloomberg's got the money and the media support to do whatever he wants. Like, you just throw money at stuff and he's fine. But I have not yet seen, I haven't seen him, like, speak yet. I haven't, or maybe I'm missing something in the media. I haven't seen him in the debates or even in the primaries.
There is a fundraising criteria that needs to be met in order for Bloomberg to get on board, which has just really started to gain some momentum. So I do expect him to be at the newest debate that's coming up pretty soon. So
do you have a specific date? Have you seen a date or whatever for that one?
I'm trying to think on that one. I was trying to think of the next debate. I had it on my brain cell there, and give me a second because I think I can try and find that first.
Yeah, I'm looking for it too. That'd be interesting to see, and then also to see if he even goes. Well, he's there. I see his ad for a young talented country. Support Mike Bloomberg. Bloomberg 2020.
Yeah. There's a lot of energy that's coming up with the new debates that are coming up, because I had missed one before, and I was trying to see when the next one is showing up. Let's see.
And
I knew we just had one in Klobuchar. Looked pretty good on that one, to be quite honest. And I think that's where she has started to gain some momentum. I'm trying to think, because you were asking about the newest one that's showing up. And I think there's one that's coming up on the 19th.
February?
About February. I think there's one.
Okay.
And let me see the 19th of that. That's going to be in South Carolina. That's the one that I think that a lot of people are moving towards. I think that was one of the reasons why Joe Biden kind of left New Hampshire early to make his trip down to South Carolina to start building momentum for that. As you start moving south, you start to see more of that African-American vote that you were mentioning about. And I think that may be giving us a truer look of the country's diversity as far as Black and Latino votes.
Right. Oh, by the way, I just want to mention that we have a call online. We have Pierre. He's our economic business entrepreneurial correspondent. Hello, Pierre.
Hey.
Are you there?
Hey, how's everybody going? How's everybody doing tonight or today?
That's pretty
good.
I'm
out
here.
Good
to hear from you, man.
Likewise.
So basically, we were just talking about like the presidential candidates who's in office and commentary on the primaries. Did you get a chance to take a look at it, P?
Honestly, I haven't. I've been really busy working on some family business stuff over here, but I'll definitely check it out.
Okay. Do you know anything about any of the presidential candidates or care to chime in on anything?
Well, you know, I just wanted to come on real quick and introduce myself and just kind of say that, you know, politics is very interesting because we live in this digital era or time right now where when we saw Obama, you know, get elected, he really was able to speak to the youth because of technology. And now you see Trump, you know, trying to do the exact same thing, but it doesn't have the same effect, at least on people of color. And what I've noticed, you know, a lot of people, especially when it's about Donald Trump, you know, a lot of people, especially Democrats, don't really care for Trump because, you know, he is privileged. You know, he's privileged and he's always been privileged, but he's been a businessman, an entrepreneur. So for me, I do have mixed feelings about Trump because I'm an entrepreneur, because I am a business owner. And, you know, I went to Morehouse College. You know, I worked on Wall Street and, you know, I run my own business as well as my family business where I'm the CFO and we do assisted living. And, you know, I'm out here on the East Coast and a lot of people, they just feel some kind of way about Trump, you know, but I still have my place in Cali. And when I'm in California, you know, it's a little different because, you know, people have these mixed feelings about all of the candidates. And when I look at, you know, politics and business, they really go hand in hand. And a lot of people didn't want to believe that when Trump got in office based on what we had with Obama. And what I'm seeing now is, you know, when you look at the market, it's doing pretty well. And obviously Trump loves to pat himself on the back, you know, and take credit for a lot of things that, you know, pretty much was going to happen, you know, even if Obama would have stayed on longer, which wasn't possible. But, you know, I have mixed feelings about Trump. You know, sometimes I like him, sometimes I don't. The other candidates, you know, Biden has really
be honest.
Really hasn't shown up. He hasn't shown up.
Okay.
He hasn't shown up.
Okay.
You know, and I'm going with Elizabeth Warren. That's who I really like. I went with Hillary, you know, when I voted, you know, I didn't vote for Trump. I did vote for Hillary and mm-hmm. she lost. So, you know, I'm all about women rights. I'm all about, you know, my mom, you know, she's an entrepreneur. And you know, I love to see strong, independent women, just women that are making moves and that really don't only look at the bottom line as far as the money. They also look at, you know, how is this going to affect our children and our kids, mm-hmm. kids. And, you know, they just put a lot more heart into it. I really resonate with Elizabeth Warren out of everyone thus far. Bernie, I think he's okay. I just think he's super old. And, you know, I used to be a Bernie fanboy. But, you know, when I heard Elizabeth Warren, I was just like sold, you know, because I really wanted to see change. And for me to see change, that didn't mean to put another Caucasian white man, or just white man, period. No, I said Caucasian, but another privileged person such as Donald Trump in the White House when, you know, you put someone that is, you know, maybe not as good as Obama, but at least lets you see a different president for kids growing up. And when they grow up, especially the little girls, they could say, oh, wow, you know, there was a woman president for the United States. There was a, you know, African-American president for the United States. So that's my take on everything.
Uh-huh.
Well, Pete, I know you mentioned that you have a family business, you have a business of your own, right? So looking at these presidential candidates, like, how do you think – I see a lot of people making the move towards entrepreneurship and small business. Like, how do you think that each of those may have an effect on people that are like small business owners or entrepreneurs? Like, what do you think would be the effect on those businesses would be, like, as far as taxes or whatever? Like, what do you think? Do you have anything you want to speak on that?
Yeah, sure. I'll say, you know, my little 2 cents on that as well. You know, when Obama, you know, was all about, you know, helping entrepreneurs, especially when, you know, my app, you know, it is an on-demand fundraising app. So it really
What's the name of your app again?
The whole, it was Money Blitz, MoneyBlitz. Money Blitz.
Okay.
You can find
it on
the App Store
Apple
as well
and Android.
Yeah, Apple and Android, both phones. You know. And what I was gonna say was, you know, what I really liked about what Obama was trying to do was he was really focusing on crowdfunding. So he had, you know, a lot of things passed with crowdfunding. And you know, due to people not shipping on time, due to people doing Kickstarter, Indiegogo, and even a few equity crowdfunding platforms, people weren't receiving, you know, their quote-unquote money's worth. So that really hurt, you know, to me. That hurt small business owners who were looking for the Crowdfunding Act and what Obama put in place for entrepreneurs. Now, Trump, when he came in, what he did was he really catered to, you know, I want to say white shoe investment banking firms, but he really catered to Wall Street. But, you know, he has an issue with, you know, like Jeffrey P. Bezos, Amazon, but he doesn't have, you know, a real issue with like Facebook, you know, Mark Zuckerberg. So it's like he pick and chooses who he wants to go after, which billionaires, you know what I'm saying? But if they got way more money than him, which most of them do, you know what I'm saying? He's like in his feelings. So I honestly feel that when you look at who Trump is for, it's not for really the small entrepreneur. And I'm not saying he's for the big cats, the big Wall Street cats or anything like that. But what I am saying is it's really about, you know, how am I able to, I don't want to say beat the system, but how am I able to not pay, you know, as much tax as the next person if I know that my business model, you know what I'm saying, isn't making those numbers. See, as a small business owner, you're not making the same numbers. You're not getting this. You're not in the same tax bracket as these billionaires. So,
okay.
You know, you got to look at it from the standpoint that every penny, you know, every penny counts, and wherever you can save and cut costs as a business, then you know you're going to take it for what it is. Because you know, when you look at taxation and you look at, you know, you paying for, you know, prisons, you're paying for roads, you're paying for all these different things, all the people who are unemployed, you know, that comes out of your taxes. And a lot of times, you know, as the entrepreneur looks at it, you know, I'm just trying to keep my lights on. So,
right.
And I'm trying to make sure that the product and service that I have is, you know, something of value that people, you know, can not only resonate with, but people can use in their everyday lives to make their life a lot better. So you keep all that into consideration while still playing, you know, politics and still trying to figure out and maneuver what is the best way for, you know, us to still pay reasonable taxes and not go for broke.
So, okay, you spoke about Trump, but what about the current candidates? Like, how do you feel about Sanders and Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren? Like, what do you, as far as like taxing and small business owners, like, how do you feel that they would affect you or us in general?
You know, I don't want to sound like I'm contradicting myself, because, you know, it might sound like it when I say that I'm not all for Elizabeth Warren's plan, because I do feel that, you know, you got to go across the board, right? You can't just say, okay, I'm targeting, you know, these billionaires, these millionaires, because the thing is, even when you're not a millionaire or a billionaire quite yet, you're still looking like, all right, eventually I'm going to get there. And when you do get there, you don't want to now all of a sudden have to deal with the taxes, you know, which that might have nothing to do with you as a small business owner. But I do believe she needs to you know, just level the playing field and really, you know, like when she said she crunched the numbers and, you know, they made sense. I think there was, I can't remember if it was Princeton, you know, because I was listening to CNBC, and they were talking about one of the schools, Ivy League schools, did the numbers, and they were, you know, saying that Elizabeth Warren numbers, you know, they didn't really add up. So, you know, it's one of those things where I think, you know, if everybody had a plan like hers, then, you know, not everybody would critique her and have so much to say about her plan. The mm-hmm. others, you know, I heard a little something they had to say, but Elizabeth was the only one that I really paid attention to, because she was the only one that really, you know, she really did have a plan, and she really at least attempted to go and try to do the numbers, even if they're not 100% correct.
Okay, I hear you on that. So, Will and Pete, one last thing, parting words, before we get into our last parting words. There was a mention of Bernie Sanders being into democratic socialism. Has anybody heard that on the debate and or the primaries? I've heard that through the news. Any thoughts on that?
Well, he is. Let's call it what it is. Bernie Sanders has led the way going back to 2015, 2016, been kind of socialistic in his approach towards government. You know, it is almost to the point where everyone would be on a level playing field. Everyone would be able to thrive and be successful. And that's not, and first of all, a lot of people on the far right say that that's kind of a death to capitalism. But what Bernie Sanders represents is more of a modified capitalism. I think when we look at capitalism, and I was kind of listening to what Pete was talking about, when you look at that, Obama was one who was very, very strict on small businesses. He was. It was one of the things mm-hmm. that I kind of paid attention to, because when you're an entrepreneur, you start off small, but that's not your end game. Your end game is just get into the game and get started. So where you may start with one, two employees or working out of your garage, you may turn around at some point and be a Fortune 500 company. So, hey, mm-hmm. you know, it's not where you start, it's where you end. When
right.
you start to look, when you look at how Sanders and Warren both approach business, they have it to the point where after you've made $10 million as an entrepreneur, you pay a little bit more in the taxes. So they're giving you like $10 mm-hmm. million free. But for someone like Jeff Bezos or Mark Zuckerberg, they're in their billion. So their taxation will look different.
Yeah.
Well, let me say this, because a lot of people, you know, don't know, but Amazon, just especially Jeffrey P. Bezos, he really doesn't pay taxes. And a lot of people were shocked behind that, you know, based on, you know, Amazon being able to provide jobs for different, you know, states, and him just doing so much, you know, that when I saw that, I was a little surprised. And, you know, it was a few other things, like I think Mark Zuckerberg and a few other CEOs only, you know, put their salary at a dollar. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it was just kind of like, yeah, it was just crazy, you know, because that told me so much about how important shares of a company is, because whether they take, you see, go ahead.
No, I'm listening. I'm agreeing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was gonna say whether they make a salary really didn't matter. What mattered was how many shares that they own. So when you know, Facebook, for example, went public, the one thing that people were looking at and focusing on was how Mark Zuckerberg was buying back, you know, like stocks from Peter Thiel, you know, from other people that he had that wanted to get rid of their stock, not knowing what his purpose and intentions were when he bought it back. And it was ownership. You know, when you get down to really what people want, yes, they want freedom, you know, and the government, you know, doesn't really give you freedom. The government, to me, sometimes can be a crutch, you know. So when you look at these welfare moms, you know, I remember when Ronald Reagan was talking about, you know, the welfare, what was she called, the welfare lady, I can't remember her name, but he had, you know, this this focus on how, you know, people of color are always looking for either handouts or always looking for help, but they don't say anything about the farmers, you know what I'm saying, when they're, you know, asking for help, you know what I'm saying, and they have no problem helping them. So it's such a convoluted, you know, it's really hard to, it's hard to really look at it for what it is when you know everybody is looking out for their self-interest, point blank.
Correct.
Wow.
Because
wow.
Because at the end of the day, whether it's big business, small business, self-preservation is always key.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
that's in life too.
Why? The way of the world.
So, yeah. Wow, P. Thank you for your perspective, man. And
oh, you're welcome,
Money
man.
Blitz.
You're welcome.
Is it Money Blitz? That's the app on iTunes and Android.
Yes, it's just the Money Blitz. MoneyBlitz.
And, all right. And we look
if
forward
have
to
any questions.
Doing...
They can. Oh, I was about to say they can email me, you know, or call me. My email, Pierre, P-I-E-R-R-E, at moneyblitz.tv. And
Instagram. Instagram. Everybody's hitting Instagram. No.
Nope.
Okay.
Know, money,
don't do that. All
it's
right.
Money Blitz. It's Money Blitz also, Money Blitz TV, Instagram.
Okay.
And I actually have two. I have Money Blitz and Money Blitz TV. So both of those.
Okay.
And phone number 310-926-5342. Pretty much, you know, 24/7. So y'all call,
all right.
I'll answer. We don't sleep over here.
All right. All right. Thank you, T. Appreciate you.
you're welcome. Hey, fellas. It was nice talking and chatting with the both of you all, and I look forward to definitely you know, giving my two cents when it comes to business tips and when it comes to, you know, talking money.
All right.
That's right.
Thank you,
all
P.
Right.
Appreciate you.
All right, fellas, y'all have a good night, because it's like 11:33 over here, and I still got a few other things I got to do before I take this little power nap.
All right.
And then back up and edit. All
right? Right.
Okay.
All right. Talk to y'all later.
All right, later. Uh-huh.
Hey.
All right, bye.
Will.
What's up, bro?
All right, so parting thoughts. I think I'll go ahead with my parting thoughts. So I just want to leave the audience with the last, I think the dates you mentioned, the 19th. So there are, it looks like four more debates.
The 19th, the 19th is going to be in Las Vegas.
Right.
And then I think the 25th of February is going to be in Charleston, South Carolina.
Right. And it looks like there's two other to-be-announced dates for that. Just be informed, you know, do your research, watch, and vote responsibly. You know, hopefully you'll go out there and cast some votes or not, you know, no pressure. And let's not forget that Trump does have a competitor in the Republican side, Mr. Weld, I believe, W-E-L-D. Don't know too much about him. Just know he's from Massachusetts. So, but I don't think it's a strong run. I think it's just going to be Trump versus whoever's up, like some weird Street Fighter WWE presidential match.
Wow.
Yeah, I did that. I just did that.
You did that.
So, Will, what are your parting thoughts?
Well, you know what? I just want you to go out and vote. I want you to be able to take time out, research those candidates that are out there, find the candidate who is best for you. Get family involved. Those who are registered voters, maybe have a think tank at home. We used to do that maybe the Sunday before election. We just kind of have a think tank with all the registered voters. Get out.
And voting is November 3rd again, right? We just want to make sure
correct.
So people know.
Yes.
Yeah, so November 3rd, have
think,
that conversation, that Sunday dinner. Mm-hmm.
Right. The craziness should end. I think the Democratic convention is the 13th through the 16th of July or 14th through the 16th of July. So by then, the smoke would have cleared and we would have had a clear candidate. For the Democratic side, whether you're Democrat or Republican, I just want you to kind of go out and vote, man. Be a part of the process.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
All right. Got it. Okay. So, Will, thanks again, and we'll be doing another one the next Wednesday. As always, be good to each other. You know what I'm saying? Be considerate.
That's right.
And, you know, that's right. 2020 and stay focused.
Stay focused. New vision, y'all. Stay focused.
All right. All right. So y'all have a blessed one. All right, Will. So we'll talk soon. Doing it again
peace.
Next Wednesday. All right. Peace.
Peace.